chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. The Apostle Paul says this, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Let us sing now our praise song. Gracious Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus, for that holy Lamb who was given for each one of us. Lord, now we come before you. We bow before you. May you speak to our hearts. May you open our eyes. May you give us all that we need this day. May all that is spoken here, Lord, all that is lifted up, be to your glory and honor. In Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Yesterday, when Renee and I were driving back up from, we spent the night at our folks' house in Anson County after getting back on Friday afternoon, and we were driving back, and I happened to see a billboard along the way, and this is not the exact words of what it said, but you get the meaning from it. It said on there, "Life's Final Exam," and then underneath that was a picture of the Bible, and it said, "Study hard," or "Study often." You know, and I thought about that and thought, I like Christian billboards. I like things that say, but you know, it's really a little incorrect in its theology there. While we do need to study the Bible, and I'm not suggesting in any way, don't go away from here saying, the preacher said, throw the Bible away. We didn't need to study it or anything. It's not what I'm saying. We absolutely need to study the Bible. We need to learn it. We need to make it part of our lives and part of our heart. Write it upon our hearts is what we're told to do. We need to do that. But, folks, there ain't any amount of studying that will get you into eternity. It's a thing of the heart. It's a condition of the heart. It's accepting Jesus Christ. We don't need to study, but we do need to know more and more in order to understand better and better who we are and what God has called us to do. Yet no amount of studying, no amount of work on our behalf, no amount of what we can do can bring us into a right relationship with God. Paul writes this letter to his friend Timothy, and this particular passage that he writes, he's telling his friend Timothy, in the face of disappointments that have come, in chapter 1 he talks about those that had turned away from him, had turned away from the gospel that he was preaching. Who was it? Names that I can't even pronounce, but you can read them there in that first chapter. He tells them, in the face of this disappointment, that he needs to remain faithful and strong in grace. Now let's look at what Paul is teaching Timothy and us today in these verses today. I'm going to go back through them, John, if you want to put them up as I do it. In the first verse of this passage, he tells Timothy to be strong. Be strong in grace. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Does this mean that grace is something that I can improve upon? Something that I can get better at? Something that I can build grace muscles up if I just exercise myself enough? Well, the truth is that we can't do that. We can't improve upon God's grace. We can't build up grace muscles. All we can do is rely upon the grace of God, which Christ told Paul when he petitioned him that his grace was sufficient. We must totally lean on the strength of Christ, His grace. That's what it gives us the strength. That's what our strength is His grace, His love, His mercy toward us, not our own. And we must totally lean on His strength and not our own, Paul tells Timothy and tells us today. It's not about what we can do or what we have done or what we might do. It's all about Jesus and His free gift to us. In verse 2, we are told, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." He tells us to learn, that learning is not for the sake of just acquiring knowledge. It is for sharing. Paul tells Timothy to learn all he can, to share it all he can with those, but that learning is not just about learning so that I can recite the encyclopedia to you or repeat the dictionary to you and tell you whatever word means. That if we don't apply these things, that they're of no value. What doctor would be worth 2 cents? It didn't make any difference how much knowledge they had if they didn't apply it to a patient who is sick. That's what Paul is trying to tell Timothy. Not to just learn for the sake of knowledge, but to share that knowledge with others. Take what you have learned and share it with others. He says men here, so I guess that leaves you women out. You don't have to worry about sharing this with anybody, do you? It's just the men's responsibility. Right, Brian? You know, it's what we do, isn't it? Yeah. Well, of course we know that's not true. The women, Paul was speaking in a day and a time and in a culture where the men were the only ones that were allowed to speak in public. And so he was being the person that he was called to be, and he was teaching them in a way that was acceptable. In that day and time, it wouldn't have been acceptable for a woman to do it. Today, if it wasn't for women teachers in our society, and particularly in the church would have closed down a long time ago. So women, you are included, believe me, in what Paul was saying right there. Who we take it, and we share it. We teach others. This is what this equipping ministry thing is all about. It's about learning what it is that we're good at and finding out the gifts and graces that God has blessed us with. And every one of you in here today has a calling, has a talent, has a gift, and God desires you to use it for His glory, to share with us. He doesn't just desire you to have something just so that you can sing a pretty song. He doesn't desire you to have a loving heart just so that you can share it with your spouse or with your children. He gives you these things to share with all around you. God has given you something, and He desires, it is His desire, it is His intent that you share it with others. Verses 3 and 4. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We must endure hardships, Paul is telling Timothy and us as well. And then he gives them three examples of the things that we must endure, of how we can endure. First of all, he says, uses the example of a soldier. I know a lot of you have been in the military. And there's one thing that every person in the military has in common, whether they are whether they're the first day in boot camp or whether they're a five-star general, is that they have orders to follow. Don't make any difference what rank you are. Even the highest general there is, he has to take orders from the commander-in-chief, the president. Everyone, every soldier has to take orders, has to follow orders from the lowest to the highest rank. It's a common denominator among soldiers. We are called by God to follow the lead and the nudging, the example of Christ and the lead of the Holy Spirit. That creates some hardships. It can lead you to places that you don't want to be sometimes. It can lead you into situations where you're not comfortable. It can cause you to clam up when you know you should speak up. And it can cause you to sit down and be quiet when you know you should stand up and speak out about some wrong. It's a hard thing sometimes to act as a soldier of Christ, and to follow His orders, His demands upon our life. He says that we must endure hardship as an athlete in competition, verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. As an athlete in competition, we have to play by the rules. The Olympics have been going on now for 2 weeks. How many of you, if you've watched much of it, you've probably seen certain athletes disqualified from time to time, particularly in some of the speed skating races, because they broke the rules. They were some type of infraction. They may have finished the line, went across the line first, but they didn't get the victory because they didn't follow the rules. Our teaching must be in accordance with God's Word, His rule. We can't go around teaching, preaching, and advocating things that aren't in the Scripture, that the Scripture doesn't uphold. We have to live by the rules as Christians. We have to preach the gospel, teach the truth. We can't just go along making up things as we go. Have you ever played a game with anyone that just changed the rules kind of as you went along? Renee tells me I do that all the time. That says you're just changing the rules to suit you. Well, I do. But when it comes to sharing our faith, when it comes to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, we can't do that. We don't have that authority. We don't have that insight. We have the guidebook. We need to understand it, and we need to live by it and play and follow the rules. Our teaching must be based on the Bible. And this can lead to a hardship. Because, you know, the Bible tells us to do things like forgive those who have wronged us. I don't like doing that all the time. I like holding a grudge sometimes. It feels good. Revenge, you know, I want to get back at them. I want to hurt somebody. Huh? It tells you to love someone that may not be so lovable, that just really gets on your nerves in the worst of ways, but you need to love them. It can cause you hardships when you follow the rules, can't it? It may mean that you don't win the game all the time that you're playing. It may not mean that you always feel good about it. But we're called to live by the rules and play by them. Verses 6 and 7, we are told that we endure hardships as a farmer does. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. What is it about a farmer that's a common thing for all farmers all over the world? They have to be patient. Sometimes farmers till the ground. Sometimes they plant seeds. Sometimes farmers weed and hoe their crops to make sure that there's no foreign plants growing in there to choke them out. Sometimes they do the harvesting. But the thing is that we have to do, a farmer has to do what needs to be done at the time, and he can't get ahead of himself. A farmer cannot harvest before he's planted. A farmer cannot harvest before it has grown and it bears fruit. This can create some real hardships for those of us who want to get things done and for things to happen right now. We want to pray for someone and they change their lives immediately. We want to pray for God to answer a question that we have or to change something about us, or and we expect it to, boom, lightning bolt, happen right then. It doesn't always happen that way. It can create a hardship for us because we don't allow God to do His work in His time. You ever tried to tell anybody anything and they not let you finish? You know, you start telling somebody something and they jump the gun on you. Renee does that on me occasionally. And it's aggravating. I do the same thing too. But this weekend, Kelly was trying to tell Renee something when we were down at her mama's. And Renee went ahead and said something. I can't remember what it was. And Kelly says, "Would you let me finish?" And I said, thank you. Because I have to do that every now and then, as she does to me. But we want right now. We don't want to allow things to take their course. We don't want to allow God to do His work. We want to hurry things and push things. We have to endure those hardships sometime of being patient. And believe me, folks, when you pray for patience, I don't like to pray for patience. Because often when I pray for patience, God gives me a situation that requires patience. And I'm not the most patient of persons. We need to remember that we need to endure the hardships as farmers endure, that we are dependent upon God and His timing, and we need to allow God to do His work. In verses 8 and 9, we are told by Paul that we need to remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, why did Paul put that in there? Why did he say, throw that seed of David in there? It's because in that day and time, one of the main controversies was over the exactly who Jesus was. Was he human? Was he divine? Was he some homogenized mix of the two? But in that day and time, to who Paul was preaching and teaching and the people that Timothy was ministering to, the Gentiles, they had this idea that Christ could not have been divine. I mean, could not have been human, because anything human was not good. There was a line of thought in the Greek world in that day of time called Gnosticism that held that everything to do with the flesh was bad. Nothing good in the flesh. Only the Spirit was good. Only anything in the Spirit was good. So they had a hard time accepting that Christ was truly human. Paul is saying here of the seed of David. He's saying there, reminding Timothy, don't get caught up in this worldly kind of thought. Don't get caught up in watering down the truth about Jesus, because He was truly human. He lived, He breathed, He ate, He slept, He got tired, He bled, He sweated. All of those things that each one of us has in common with the other, Jesus experienced them just as we did. He said He was of the seed of David. He was a human being. But then He goes on to say that He was also raised from the dead. Now, when He's talking about that, we know that He wasn't just raised temporarily from the dead as Lazarus was, but He was raised from the dead to eternal life, to permanency, sitting beside the Father in heaven. And by saying this, He is emphasizing that not only was He human, but that He was divine as well. For us today, that's the big thing in this world we live in today. Most people, most religions don't have a problem with Jesus as a human being. He was a good man. He gave good teachings. He said good things. He taught love. He was a good man. But where they have the problem is accepting that He was raised from the dead, and that He was God's Son, that He wasn't just a prophet, a good man, but that He was the Savior of all mankind. You can look at the religions of the day of today. You can look at Islam. It doesn't have a problem with Jesus as a prophet. But Judaism doesn't have a problem with Jesus as a prophet, a good man. The Hindus, the Buddhists, you can go on and on. They don't have a problem with Jesus as a human being, but they do have a problem with Him being divine. Because to admit and to accept Him as divine, God's Son, it means that they've believed something incorrect in their own life. It means that they've been wrong. Paul points out that he was enduring troubles because of this belief, even to the point of chains, and ultimately to his own death. But you know, when Paul says that I'm in chains because of this very belief, if it wasn't true, if it wasn't a fact, wouldn't he have been the biggest fool on the face of the earth to have given himself so completely to something that was false? Wouldn't we today be completely and utterly foolish? Why would we even be here today? I wouldn't be here today. I'd still be in Grand Cayman Island somewhere if I didn't believe that Jesus Christ was God's Son, raised from the dead, the Savior of the world, and that He was calling me and all of us to share that good news with others. I'd be the biggest idiot in the world to be here today if I didn't believe that. And I take it by you being here today, you believe that as well. And we are not foolish, but we are foolish for Jesus. Amen. If we can't make the claim that Jesus is both God and man, we should all be somewhere else today doing something else. In verse 10, Paul says, "Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Paul endured and was strong in grace so that all those that God had chosen might have salvation. We're called to endure in that same fashion here today. In each of our lives, we're called to endure because there may be someone who needs the word that we have to share. There may be someone who needs to hear our testimony about how God has worked in our life. That may be the very catalyst, the very seed that needs to be planted so that that person might come to know Jesus Christ in His good time. We must be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. About 15 years ago, 14 years ago, when I was contemplating going into seminary, I was already pastoring and was a local pastor and licensed in the Methodist Church to preach as long as the bishop desired it. When I was looking at going to school, I had to do some kind of education, and I'd never planned on going to seminary. But it looked like that might be the direction and I was going, and as I was looking at that and praying about that and contemplating that, I talked to a co-pastor, a friend of mine that I'd known for some time, who was just finishing seminary. And I asked him about it. I said, "Did you really get anything out of seminary? Was it of any value to you?" I mean, I was kind of like, you know, well, if God's called me to preach, He'll give me something to preach. And that's true. But there's a great value in education, and I realize that more and more each day. And he laughed when I asked him that question. He says, "You know," he says, "I'll tell you in just a few words what seminary has done for me. It has made me realize that God's grace is bigger, that it is more magnificent, and that it is sweeter than I ever dreamed it could be. What he told me was that God, he had become strong in God's grace. That he had realized the strength of God's grace. Not himself. He didn't flaunt his educational experience. It was all what had happened within him. By learning this word, this book, it had enabled him to experience the strength of God's grace. And I decided right then, if that's what seminary could do for me, then that was where I needed to be. And I'm here to tell you this morning that it's true that God's grace is so great that He will forgive sinners like me and you who don't deserve that forgiveness. And He offers that forgiveness to each one of us this morning. Wherever we are in our walk, wherever we have strayed, His forgiveness is available because of the strength of His grace. Be strong in God's grace. Amen. Let's pray.